Many people in Nepal are deceived. They think they are true Christians, but they've not truly been born again. What is the problem? The preaching is unclear. Why is the preaching unclear? Because preachers are not willing to work hard. And if you don't work hard, you cannot understand the Bible. And you misinterpret the Bible. And you preach the wrong message. And people are led to a false decision. If you're going to be a preacher, you must be totally committed and you must work hard. Look in 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young preacher. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Someone read that. Someone read this. Look at verse 15. How does Paul describe the preacher? He is to be a workman who must approve the preacher. Is he approved by man or approved by God? He says you must be approved by God. They must be willing to work hard. He says be diligent to present yourself approved to God. That word means to work hard. To put forth great effort. To take great pains with these things. The big problem with many preachers, they're not willing to work hard. And they are not able to properly interpret the Word of God. It says you must handle accurately the Word of God. That means you are to cut it straight. Cut it like with a knife. You are to understand the proper meaning. You are to understand the main idea. You must arrange it in the proper order. You must give the accurate explanation. A lot of preachers are like this. They're all over the place. They stand stand up and talk for 1 hour. They read a lot of verses. They tell a lot of stories. They give a lot of testimony. But they don't properly interpret the Word of God. And if you don't work hard, you cannot preach accurately. A lot of preachers in America, in China, in India, and in Nepal, Friday night, 10 o'clock, they're watching TV. Click, click, click. All of a sudden they remember. Uh-oh, tomorrow I've got to preach. What am I going to do? You get their Bible. Oh Lord, show me what to preach. And they get up and preach. No study. No hard work. And they don't properly interpret the Word of God. Are they like this? Friday night. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. What am I going to do? I don't have anything to preach. I'll get on the internet. There's another man's sermon. You write it down. Your next morning, you get up and read it. It's not your own message. You got it from someone else. You're like a beggar man who goes around in a garbage can and picks everyone's garbage. You see people on the street, they go in the garbage can. They find a plastic bottle. They go to this garbage can. They find another one. A lot of preachers are like that. They watch TV. They go on the internet. They read a book. They take this and this and this. Then they bring it home and they cook it. And then they give it to other people. They don't work hard. They don't pay a price. And they do not properly interpret the Word of God. And they preach wrong doctrine. And people are led to a false decision. Listen carefully. If you're going to be a preacher, you've got to work hard. You can't be lazy. Can't be lazy. You must take up the cross. You must pay a price. You must study the Word of God. The problem in Nepal, many false decisions. Baptized dead men. What is the problem? Wrong preaching. Men don't properly interpret the Word of God. For example, look in the book of Revelation and chapter 3. And verse 20. Very familiar verse. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him. All right, let me ask you a question. What door is he knocking at? Listen carefully. If you wrongly interpret this verse, you lead people to a wrong decision. If you take that verse out of its context, and you wrongly preach it, you tell people this. You want to be a Christian? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He can't open the door. You must open the door. He cannot come in. He has no power. He's standing at the door of your heart. Please let me come in. Please open the door. I have no power. I can't come in. You must open the door. Please let me come in. And the preacher says this. You pray this little prayer. You pray after me. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. And the preacher says this. Now you're a Christian. Don't ever doubt it. Listen carefully. The misinterpretation of that verse has damned thousands of souls. What door is he talking about? If you don't study the Bible, if you don't study the context, if you don't study the grammar, you'll not properly interpret the verse. You take the words out of Jesus' mouth. You change the meaning. And then you tell people something Jesus did not say. And you wrongly preach the gospel. Let me ask you a question. If you told something to someone, and they took your words and changed the meaning, would you be happy? Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Who's he writing to? To the angel of the church at Ephesus. He's writing to the church. 314. Laodicea, yes, I'm sorry. He's writing to the church. The angel of the church. Two possible interpretations. Two possible meanings. Every church had its own guardian angel. Probably a better interpretation is this. The word angel can also mean the messenger or the leader or the manager of the church. He's probably speaking to the leaders of the church. But verse 14 tells us he's talking to the church. Notice verse 15. He describes their condition. You are lukewarm. Lukewarm. Verse 17. They are self-deceived. They think they're doing well, but they're actually needy. Verse 18. He teaches and reproves them. Why? Verse 19. Because he loves them. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. What does Hebrews chapter 12 tell us? Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And if you have no discipline, you're not a true son. I stand at the door and knock. What door is he talking about? He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people he loves. He's talking to Christians that have become lukewarm. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. What door is he knocking at? The door of a lost man's heart? Or the door of the church? He's not talking about knocking on the physical door. He's speaking symbolically. And he says, if any man opens the door, I'll come into him. Now listen carefully. Two possible interpretations. I will come inside of him, or I will come into the church up to face to face this person. And if you study the grammar properly, he doesn't say, his meaning is not, I will come inside the person's heart or body. His meaning is, I will come back into the church. And I will come face to face with a person. And I will reestablish my fellowship with him. Now listen carefully. If you don't properly interpret the Bible, you tell people this. You want to be saved? Just ask Jesus into your heart. And you're saved. And they quote this verse. But that's not the meaning of the verse. And you cannot use a verse opposite of its meaning. This is not a message to preach to lost men. This is a message to preach to the church. If I say I stand at the door and knock, he's speaking figuratively of standing outside the church wanting to come in. If anyone repents and opens the door, I will come inside the church up to him. And I'll reestablish fellowship with him. He doesn't mean I will come into that person. I will come up to him. The word means literally face to face. And if you don't understand the grammar, you don't understand the context, you misinterpret the verse, and you wrongly preach the gospel. What is true conversion? It's not asking Jesus into your heart. What is true conversion? Repent and believe. There's two sinners' prayers in the Bible. One is false and one is true. The false sinner's prayer leads many people astray. And it's based on a wrong interpretation of this verse. The true sinner's prayer. Luke chapter 18. You know the story. And verse 9. He told this parable to some people. They trusted in themselves and viewed others with contempt. And you know the story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One's a Pharisee, one's a tax gatherer. The Pharisee is very religious, but he is self-righteous. He comes right to the front of the temple. He says, "Oh Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men. I don't lie and cheat. I don't commit adultery. I'm not like this tax gatherer back then. I fast twice a week. That's more than the law requires. I pay tithes of all that I get. That's more than the law requires." What was he hoping in? He was hoping in his good works. What was he doing? He was comparing himself to other men. And what was he asking for? He was asking for justice. "Lord, I'm better than other men. I do more than the law requires. I have earned my salvation." The tax collector, where was he? He was at the very back. And he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he beat his chest. And what did he say? Verse 13. Last part. What does he pray? God be merciful to me, the sinner. Now this is the true sinner's prayer. A man doesn't compare himself to other men. He compares himself to God and God's righteous law. And he is sorry for his sin. And he confesses his sin. And he doesn't ask Jesus into his heart. He says, "O Lord, be merciful to me. I know who you are. I know what your law requires. I don't compare myself to other men. I don't hope in my own good works. I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy. Oh Lord, be merciful to me." That's the true sinner's prayer. That's the true sinner's prayer. False sinner's prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Now I'm saved. True sinner's prayer. Conviction in the heart. Confession of sin. Asking God to have mercy upon him. Why? He understands who God is. He understands he's broken God's law. He doesn't compare himself to other men. And he asked for mercy. And what did Jesus say? Verse 14. What's the conclusion? This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? For everyone that exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So I ask you this question. Have you prayed the true sinner's prayer? You may not say a word, but from the heart, you confess your sin. You repent of your sin. You ask God for mercy through Jesus Christ. Not according to your own works, but according to Christ's work. Not comparing yourself to other men, but comparing yourself to God's law. Not confessing your own self-righteousness, but confessing your own sin. That's the true sinner's prayer. When you have the big meetings in Nepal, people are ignorant. They don't understand anything. You tell them to come to the front. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Ask him into your heart. You will be healed. You will be happy. You will have money. You will have no problem. People come down to the front. They pray a prayer. The preacher says, now you're a Christian. And they go home. They've never been born again. They've never been convicted of sin. They've never compared themselves to God's law. They haven't heard clear preaching about the cross of Christ. And the preacher gives them assurance. Why is the church weak? Weak. Because it's full of goats and not sheep. Why is it full of goats? Because the preaching is unclear. Because preachers do not properly interpret the word of God. So you must study the word of God. Now, when I was a young preacher, I didn't really understand the truth. I didn't understand true conversion. And this is what I would preach. You want to be saved? You want to go to heaven? Then Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open your heart and let Jesus come in, you're saved. Then you come down to the front of the meeting. You raise your hand. You sign the card. And the preacher says, now you're saved. And I led hundreds and hundreds of people to a false decision. Because I was wrong. And I repented. I repented. Because God showed me the truth. We're talking about true conversion. True faith. How do most people preach today? God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Let me ask you a question. Who were the best preachers in the New Testament? The apostles. Where do we have the record of the apostles preaching? What book? Acts. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you think the word love is mentioned in the book of Acts? Fifty times? 30 times? 20 times? 10 times? 5 times? 3 times? 2 times? 1 time? Listen carefully. The word love is not mentioned in the book of Acts. Did the apostles not know how to preach the gospel? Did they forget to tell people about God's love? Certainly God loves sinners. But the apostle didn't think that's the first thing a sinner needed to hear. In the book of Romans, Paul explains the gospel. When's the first time he mentions love in the book of Romans? Chapter 1. Chapter 2.
Chapter
3. 4. 5. Verse 8. God demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Paul took 4 full chapters before he talked about the love of God. What does that tell us? We must properly preach the gospel. We must preach the full character of God. And we must preach God's holiness and God's justice. We must preach God's law and God's wrath. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power of God to everyone who believes. What does the gospel show us? In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. For everyone who believes. Then he begins to explain the gospel. Verse 18. What's the first thing he mentions? Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. What's the first thing he mentions? The love of God. The wrath of God. If men do not understand the wrath of God, they will not appreciate the love of God. And so we must properly preach the gospel. Now listen carefully. Don't believe this because I'm telling you. Study the Word of God. Don't be lazy. I've given you one example. If you're lazy, if you don't work hard, if you don't study, you will misinterpret the Bible. You will improperly preach the gospel. And you will lead many people into a false decision. And you baptize dead men. And you open the door of the church and let the goats come in. So the church is worldly. Full of sin. No growth. No growth. No understanding. What's the problem? Many people have never truly been converted. Look in the book of Acts. One last verse and we'll take a break. Paul is in Asia. Acts chapter 16. Paul is in Asia. He has a vision and he hears a man from Macedonia calling him. What does the man say? Come over here and help us. So Paul went over to Europe. And he came to Philippi. And he was looking for the man. He did not find the man. What did he find? A group of ladies down by the river. They were having a prayer meeting. And there was a woman there. Verse 14. What was her name? Lydia.
Lydia.
And look what it says. She was from the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple clothing. She was a worshiper of God and she was listening to Paul. Then she opened her own heart and asked Jesus to come in. Is that what it says? Does it say she opened her own heart? What does it say? God opened her heart. She didn't open her own heart. God opened her heart. And then she received the words of Paul. Listen carefully. Before a man repents. Before a man receives Christ. God must do something to his heart. And if God doesn't do something to his heart, he cannot believe. Cannot repent. Cannot come. Cannot see. God must open the heart. You can't open the heart. You cannot call them. There are two calls in the Bible. There's the outward call and the inward call. One goes into man's ear and the other goes into man's heart. One is the preacher calling them. Come. Believe. Repent. Trust in Christ. But they don't come. They don't believe. They don't trust Christ. They don't repent. What's the problem? Their eyes are blinded. Their heart is hard. Their will is bound. And they cannot come. They're spiritually dead. What is the preacher's responsibility? You tell them to come. You tell them to repent. You tell them to believe. But you can't open their heart. You can't make them believe. Now you can make them pray a prayer. That's easy. You can teach a talking bird to pray a prayer. But that doesn't mean the bird is saved. Only God can open the heart. And there's another calling. It's an inward calling. It's a spiritual calling. It's the voice of God. Not the voice of man. Man can reject the call of man. You tell them to come. They don't come. But when God says come, they must come. They will come. Why? Because God opens their heart and He gives them two gifts. And what are those gifts? The gift of repentance and the gift of faith. This is true conversion. This is the true sinner's prayer. So I teach this in many places. And I ask them this. Jesus is knocking at the door of the heart. Is this true? Everyone says yes. And I try to teach him the real meaning of the verse. That's not a right interpretation of the verse. Everyone says, now we understand. Now we understand true conversion. 3 months later, I come back. I say, Revelation 3:20. What door is he knocking at? What does everyone say? He's knocking on the heart. They forget. When an old cow has been walking in one path for many years, it's hard to change. Every day you open the door of the barn and let the cow out. Every day, same path. Goes out to eat. At night time, he comes back. Many preachers are like that. They've been walking the same path for years. The path of tradition. The path of wrong interpretation. And they don't understand the truth. Now listen carefully. I'm not asking you if you agree with me. I'm asking, do you understand what I'm saying? The difference between the true sinner's prayer and the false sinner's prayer. I didn't ask you if you believe. Do you understand? You need to study. We've talked about true conversion. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know your heart. I can't see your true condition. But the Bible says this. Many preachers will be turned away at the gate of heaven. So I ask you this question. Have you been truly converted? Have you been born again? Have you repented and believed? And when you preach to others, are you clear Nepal's great need? Holy men with right doctrine and with clear preaching. Any questions? Think. Study. Read. Work hard. Don't be lazy. Don't wait until 10 o'clock Friday night. Don't dig around in other people's garbage cans. Don't steal other men's sermons. Work hard. Pay the price. Be willing to get a headache. I've told many preachers, you see this old white hair? You see these wrinkles? I got one wrinkle right here. Where did I get that wrinkle? 42 years. On my knees. With the Bible. Doing this. And if you're not willing to study, if you're lazy, if you don't pay a price, if you're not willing to work hard, if you don't take up your cross, get out of the ministry. Go do something else. The church's great need. Holy men who are good example. Good example. Who are good example. Who can clearly preach the Bible. Well, let's pray.